With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
In Milwaukee Sports Talk Radio, there are the issues that we all talk about. And you who have the final say. This is your show. It's Kim and LaVoy. Judgment Day.
If you've been arrested for drunk driving or any other criminal offense, call Kim and LaVoy, 262-796-1400. That's 262-796-1400. Or go to kimandlavoy.com. Kim and LaVoy, they're your best defense.
Now, the Wendy's Big Show.
Wendy's Big Show on a Kim and LaVoy Judgment Day. Bill Schmidt, Baby Tao, Steve Sparky, Pfeiffer, Leroy Butler leaping in here around 4:30. Anthony Mandela, intern Mother Plucker, here as well until 6 o'clock at 414-799-1250 and 1057FMTheFan.com. The Yusef Nurkic injury, Sparky, I didn't want to start the show off this way, but it just popped up again and just feels so incredibly bad for that dude.
Damian Lillard said it looked like Paul George's when he crashed into the whatever it is, a pole that holds up the hoop.
Yep.
That's kind of what it reminded everybody of. It sucks.
Is there is there one injury that you cannot go back and look at? I know a lot of people, that's Theismann.
Theismann was the first one that came in my brain, yeah.
Yeah. Then there was the player at Alabama like 10 years ago that went right into the wall of shrubs at the University of Georgia.
Oh, yeah, and he cracked
his ankle like that. Yeah, so we'll pray for that guy. And that's, like I said, not exactly how we planned on starting the show, but when that pops up and you just see a dude's leg dangling there, it's kind of tough to advert your eyes. NFL Rules Committee adopting a couple of rules down at the ownership meetings. We'll get into that. We'll get into some more contracts being signed in the MLB, and it just continues to make me wonder when the conversation is going to start with Christian Yelich and possibly who else it starts with. As the Brewers just a couple of days away from starting up at Miller Park, they play the St. Louis Cardinals on Thursday, a 1:10 start. The Bayview Shade and Blind post-game show presented by the Milwaukee Admirals. We are hashtag MilHockey joins the Wendy's Big Show after that game on Thursday. Then on Friday night, kick it off, myself and Tim Allen here after each game on the Fan with you, as they have done for now 14 years in the making. In 13 years, I've been doing the Pick and Save Milwaukee Pro Hoops postgame show. This guy, Steve Sparky Pfeiffer, has. And tonight, I don't know if there's going to be a bigger game all year.
No, probably not. This is maybe next time they play Philly. But this is a big game for MVP purposes. Giannis and James Harden square off tonight, assuming both of them are playing. I haven't seen one saying they're not playing, so I'm assuming they're both going to play tonight. So it's a big game tonight, and the last time they played, Giannis had 20-20, so let's see what he does tonight against James Harden. Let's see if he comes out as man on a mission, Giannis, and tries to put his throat on James Harden's MVP race chances.
And he is surging. That's one way to say it. James Harden is surging in that race, but there's something that could be done tonight that just could lock that thing up for either 34 or maybe even 13, but 414-799-1250.
Bootsy Alert tweets, I can't rewatch the Willis McGahee injury. That's another one.
Another good one. Not good one. I guess that's the better way to put it.
You know what we meant. Yeah.
414-799-1250. Who can be the X factor for the Milwaukee Brewers in 2019? As Sparky, there have been so many different players in the year of 2018 when you win a division title. There's going to be certain stories, there's going to be special players that go on runs, and you look at what Jesus Aguilar did for a couple of months last year, carrying the team before the All-Star break, getting himself into the All-Star campaign. Obviously, what Christian Yelich did towards the end of the year in the second half of the season was remarkable enough to give him the MVP and be one of the best second halves that we've seen in the last couple of decades. And Lorenzo Cain having a .400 on-base percentage. Chase Anderson pitching well in a stretch. Josh Hader being unhittable for 3 or 4 months. Jeremy Jeffress being that guy early in the season that you could turn to seemingly at any time there were men in scoring position, and he was going to get you out of an inning and not allow any inherited runs to score, who do you believe could be the X factor for the Brewers in 2019?
It's Jimmy Nelson. I think it's Jimmy Nelson. If Jimmy Nelson can get back to being what Jimmy Nelson was, to go along with your three youngsters that you have already in Chacin, providing Chacin is what he was last year, which we don't know, but providing that all stays the same, and Jimmy Nelson then replaces Zach Davies in that rotation, and Jimmy Nelson could be the true, you know, number one guy in the rotation far more than Chacin is, this rotation becomes a lot better at this point. I just have all the faith in the world in the three young guys. I really do. In Burns, Peralta, and Woodruff, I just think, yeah, they may have their troubles from time to time, but overall, I think they're going to be really, really good this year. I think strikeout numbers are going to be up for all three of them this year. Burns' numbers will be up. Peralta's a strikeout machine. We already know that. I think Woodruff has shown here in spring training he can be a similar type of guy that can strike out a lot of guys out, a lot of swing and misses on him. I'm really, really excited about this rotation if Jimmy Nelson is right. You know, CBS Sports came out with all their writers' predictions today for Major League Baseball. Every single writer took the Brewers in third place. Everyone in the division. Every single one. They rotated between the Cubs and Cardinals in first and second. The Brewers were across the board third place. And I think part of that reason is because they don't believe in the Brewers pitching staff having a true number one. And I think if Jimmy Nelson gets back to being what Jimmy Nelson was and can stay healthy, and I know that's a huge, huge if. I get it, right? Now you got the elbow issue, you got cortisone shot. If it's not one thing, it's another thing with Jimmy Nelson. But if he could stay healthy and get his velocity back up, and Jimmy seems to think that with his cortisone shot, his velocity will take another notch up here. If that can happen, that's just huge. It really is. And then, you know, looking at Corey Knebel, if he's done for the year, which, what is taking so long on that, by the way?
I wonder how many different opinions they're actually going to get on that elbow.
Maybe they're going to keep going until they find one that says he's not done for the year. I mean, I don't know.
That's what it seems like. That's what it feels like.
It could be. And that's fine. I have no problem with that. You know, if they're looking for somebody to tell them how he can be back by July, then great. And then do what you got to do. Mm-hmm. But Jeremy Jeffers, you know, he passed another step in his rehab yesterday. So now he advances to facing some hitters. So that's good. You expect him to be back middle to end of July. So if you have Jeffers and Hader at the back end of that bullpen, then if you look at that starting rotation, again, I still think it's six innings. If you can get, you know, through six innings, the back end of that bullpen is good enough that you should be okay. Now, if you had Corey Knebel still, then you could really only had to get through probably five innings and the game was probably over. So you have to get through another inning. And I'll take it a step farther. I think if you look at the starting rotation from last year to the starting rotation for this year on opening day, I like this rotation better with these three young guys in it and under team control for quite some time here going forward. So not only are they in the starting rotation this year, providing they're healthy, they're going to be back in the starting rotation next year. And then you're going to add who? Zach Brown? He'll be in the rotation too probably next year. So you're going to have four young guns in that rotation next year. Maybe with a Jimmy Nelson, if he's right. Chacin, maybe you trade him in the offseason or whatever, and now you're just really set up to get yourself on a run in this division if those four arms are legit.
You're playing in the stratosphere of the NFL comparison to playing with a rookie quarterback on a rookie contract when you're talking about starting pitchers with team control of that magnitude, especially if they're right in the heart of your rotation. They're going to go day two, three, and four,
right?
As it's lined up right now, and to see Yolish Chacin at the top of the rotation, I think that's one of the weirder stories going into the year this year of last year after the month of April, right?
I was so mad at him in April, going nuts. What did we do? That was the first time where I was like, okay, maybe we screwed this up. And I remember on Twitter, people coming at me and being like, Sparky, just chill out. Just look at his overall career numbers in the first couple of months. He'll be fine. This always happens. Okay, fine. I'm here to tell you one thing right now. He can't be that bad this April. They need these games this April. And I heard you all talking with Seth Everett yesterday about April and meaningless baseball games, and he doesn't care really and look at it until, what do you say, Memorial Day or whatever the case is. And Gary brought up the fact of, you know, who they play in this month. It's not meaningless baseball in May. This is as important. And normally I'm one of those guys that, yeah, talk to me in June and we'll see where we're at. But because you have so many games with the Cardinals and Cubs, you just have to take advantage of this. You can't find yourself five, six games down in the division come May 1st. And I know it's a long season. You can fight your way back, but
sure.
Now you start talking about possibly losing tiebreakers and so forth at the end of the year for games you can't go back and play again.
But can you tread water for that first month? being in that 500 rate, where you're,
so you
you're
got the
towing
Cardinals,
the line.
You got the Cardinals 10 times.
Mm-hmm.
So if you go 5-5 against the Cardinals, how many times have they got the Cubs?
There's one series for sure at Miller Park, and then they do not go back down there until May.
So they only play them three games?
They play them three, and then they play the Dodgers 7 times.
Yeah, I don't know.
And the Rockies at the end of the month.
The Dodgers isn't as big of a deal. That's more of a win-loss deal within the division. I think if it's me and I look at this division, I want to be within a couple of games of first place come May 1st. That's where I want to be. I don't want to be chasing, and I don't want to be worse than 5-5 against the Cardinals in the month of April. Anything worse than 500, I don't want to be in that situation. I don't want to have to be chasing games when they play them later in the year trying to figure out how we're going to get back the tiebreaker. I don't want that.
And with the Cardinals, it's tough because you don't know exactly what that lineup's going to look like. You understand that it's going to be supplemented big time in the middle with Goldschmidt.
Yeah.
And Ozuna can still hit the ball out of the ballpark pretty much at any time. But with their young starters, I think it's contrary to what the Brewers are trying to do.
Sure it is.
With Flaherty, Michaelis, the youngsters that they have, guys that are newer to
now,
the division.
They're more highly regarded than the Brewers stars are, though.
And they've also had a lot more time
Correct.
At the big league level.
Right, and that's the difference. So this would be like our starters next year after pitching this year
right.
in the rotation.
Yep.
That's where it is. So, you know, can our starters and our great catcher that's supposedly going to help our pitching staff so much, can they be up to the challenge and take on the St. Louis Cardinals? That's why we come back to the question, what's your X factor this year for the Brewers? 414-799-1250, 414-799-1250. Tweet us at 105.7FM The Fan. I say it's Jimmy Nelson because I think Jimmy Nelson with those three young guys ain't just seen. I think this rotation can be legit.
And you just touched on one of mine. And I don't know if somebody will get – I have three guys that I believe are true X factors for the team this year. And one of them you just mentioned, and I want to see if anybody else is going to get the other two at 414-799-1250, live at 105.7FMTheFan.com, Wendy's Fresh, Never Frozen Inbox. And we got Eric Name coming up at 3:48, preview the huge game down at Fiserv Forum tonight, Bucks and Rockets. I'm going to be down there. I can't wait. I actually forgot that I had tickets until my buddy texted me yesterday, right around 7 o'clock. He's like, hey, man, so we're still going to the game tomorrow, right?
You should go online and see how much those tickets are going for in the similar section.
I don't even know where we're sitting, to be honest with you. And then he texts me today. He's like, yeah, I've been trying to get somebody to take my shift. He didn't even realize that we had tickets either. So so he might not be able to go. And then I'm just sitting there like, well, I'm going to go to the game. Like,
well, you bring your girl then.
We bought the tickets. I might as well go to the game, so I can't miss that. You know, maybe Mandela wants to go.
Harden versus Giannis? You got to go.
See, but then here's also a question that I have. It's such a good game that there's certain events that you take a date to, right? I don't know if tonight's one of those games.
I don't have that issue. It doesn't matter to me.
See, tonight's one of those games where I feel like I might just have to be there. You know,
she seems like she's
nachos
a pretty,
in hand.
She seems like a pretty diehard Bucks fan, though.
For sure, but like, there's a
difference.
You want
to take her to like a Hornets game or something,
right? Yeah, maybe when they play the Magic or something,
man,
or when they play the Hawks.
Man, if I was her listening to you right now, I'd be mad.
But no,
at
like
you,
I
you
just,
take me to the crappy games, and now you get Harden versus Giannis, and I got to stay home so you can take a dude.
Primarily, no, just because you don't want to answer the questions of wait, so when do the playoffs start? Like, those arbitrary questions that you might not need to know.
Right.
Those might be the
it's
reasons
easy. It
why.
It starts in the second round.
That might be why you wait. Maybe we'll see if, you know, the Hawks are in town a few more times. Maybe that'll be the time. So I'll be at the game tonight. Can't wait. Talk to Eric Name at 3:48. A lot more to get to. Wendy's Big Show on 105.7 FM. The Fan, also a history lesson for myself as a youngster. And I want to see if Sparky remembers this one, too. That's all coming up. Wendy's Big Show on The Fan. Big Show on The Fan, 414-799-1250. Who can be the X factor for the Milwaukee Brewers in 2019? There are plenty in the 2018 division championship team. You look at Jesus Aguilar. I mean, obviously Christian Yelich is at the top of the list, I think, for anybody. So take 22 out of it. Matter of fact, take number 6 out of it. Lorenzo Cain, you know what that guy's going to do, right?
Yep.
You don't have to remember that. You don't have to worry about what he's going to do. He's going to play tremendous defense in center field. He's going to get on base at the top of the lineup, and he's going to be one of the best clubhouse guys in all of baseball. One of them that I think is really, really interesting, and a lot of it is also Craig Counsell's strategic moves and how he maneuvers the lineup, Sparky, is Hernán Pérez. Last year, the last couple of months of the year, we find out in February that HP was playing the last couple of months with a broken bone in his hand, and he still was in relatively 240, 250, solid defender, guy that you can count on pretty much any day that you need him at any position that you have. A healthy Hernán Pérez maybe allows him to get more run. Maybe he has a couple of more at-bats. You are able to continue to rest Ryan Braun when you need to schedule days off for him, keep him fresher. And also, let's be honest, there's going to be probably a lot of days that he ends up filling in for Mike Moustakas, possibly as a defensive replacement late in the game. He's going to be huge over there at second base, too, I would imagine.
Yeah, I would assume so. Yeah, I mean, that's probably going to be part of it. God, if Moustakas could just be average defensively, though, so you don't have to go get his bat out of the lineup, that would be wonderful. You know, and the other thing I think is going to occur, too, is you're going to see situations where if Aguilar's 0-for-3 and just not feeling it, you might see Travis Shaw play first, Moustakas going back to third,
sure,
and then slide somebody into second base to play second base in late-game situations.
And it's the Cubs had to do this with Daniel Murphy last year when they acquired him, where they would get him three at-bats, they'd lead him off, and then be done and bring in a defensive replacement. Like you said, I don't think Moustakas is going to – I can't think he's going to be that bad at second base. I just can't. I think he's a little bit too athletic to just be an absolute butcher over at second base. 414-799-1250. Who's your X factor for the 2019 crew? Let's go to Racine. Say hello to Dan. Hi, Dan.
Hey, fellas. Thanks for taking my call.
Appreciate calling.
Hey, I think it's going to be Arcia, man. We can't afford that guy to, to have to go down, play in the minors, and then we got to worry about a bench player. That guy's got to remain consistent. Cut down a little bit on the errors because he's awesome, you know, defensively, and his bat wasn't there for a while. So, yeah, I think that guy's key. But I do got two questions for you. If you don't mind, give me a shout back. I got to hang up then. The futures of 86 over and under on that. And what happened to that closer or that reliever we were going to maybe get from Boston? What happened on that?
Craig Kimbrell?
Yeah.
Well, nothing's happened because Craig Kimbrell still hasn't signed anywhere yet. I would imagine my guess would be once the Knebel injury got out, that price went up for Kimbrell and the Brewers probably checked out at that point. That's my guess because you're right. We haven't heard anything of the sort. Kimbrell has hinted all the time that if he doesn't get what he feels is right, he's not going to pitch. So we'll see. It's between the Brewers and the Braves is what they've said. And as of right now, he's not with either team. And furthermore, even if he does sign with the team, how long will it be before he can pitch? Don't really know. I'd still like Kimbrell at the back end of this bullpen, though, even if he doesn't get here May or whenever the case may be.
Yeah, he could be there for that second Cardinals series.
Yeah, I mean, if he's here by May, mm-hmm. and then it's Kimbrell, Jeffers, and Hader, I'm totally fine with that. Kimbrell can have the closer's role. Let Jeffers be the setup guy in the eighth, and let Hader pitch the sixth and the seventh or the seventh. I have no problem with that. And then you still have Matt Albers back there that can pitch the sixth or the seventh with Josh Hader. It still helps them tremendously. It's just a matter of how much they really want to pay Craig Kimbrell and how little Craig Kimbrell wants to stay or to take coming back and how short of a deal he wants. And if Kimbrell wants 5 or 6 years, if I'm the Brewers, there's no chance and you know what that's happening. If you're willing to take a two-year deal, I'll play with a two-year deal because Grandal's money comes off after this year anyhow.
It's just still crazy to me that you're not going to play, that you're going to sit out the year instead of going and playing baseball and having this guaranteed money in front of you. You have the opportunity to make the money. We saw Le'Veon Bell lose, guys. I get it's a different sport. Le'Veon Bell lost. He didn't make the kind of money that he exactly thought he was going to.
Right.
And he's never going to be able to make that $14.5 million back. You're Craig Kimbrell. You're not going to be able to get this $20 million back if you sit out all of the year.
No, you're not. But it's about proving a point. Remember, that's what Grandal said, baby Tosh, was, well, I took a one-year deal at the price because I didn't want to take less money on a multi-year deal and have the catching market go backwards. And then, on top of all of that, you see everybody signing extensions. Hendricks just signing an extension with the Cubs today, four at 55 or whatever it was. So everybody's signing extensions, and part of the reason is because nobody really knows what's going to happen in the CBA in a couple of years. So everybody's trying to get their guaranteed money now as soon as possible. I started thinking about that. I'm like, all right, so who are those guys for the Brewers? They don't really have anybody that you would look at and go, oh, boy, they got to lock him up to an extension. Hader, I guess, would probably be the one guy.
Travis Shaw?
I
No?
I still don't think he's going to be here. But
really?
No, I just...
See, now that's the one where I believe that he could be the first the group to be an extender.
They're not even talking to him. They didn't even talk to him. They're not talking to him.
But this, I feel like this last week, there's been over $1 billion of money signed this week.
But you have to be convinced that they think he's here long term. I don't. I'm just not there, man. And maybe I'll be wrong. Maybe they'll sign an extension, and I'll gladly eat curl. But I've been saying this since last year. I just don't think he's here long term for the Brewers. I think they eventually trade him. And I said before, and I'll say it again, they could trade him at the deadline this year, or they could trade him in the offseason. I just don't think he's here long term.
Do you want him to be here long term?
Yeah, I don't. Travis Shaw seems like a nice guy. I don't got a problem with Travis Shaw one way or the other. I just got a gut, just a vibe, talking to people that I just don't know if he's here long term. So we'll see.
And that's part of the issue is, does he want to be here long term? Also, do they want him to be here long term? And do they believe that with the rest of those assets that they have of that 2016 draft? I mean, they had five dudes out of that draft at big league camp this year.
Right.
That's a staggering amount for how baseball has changed in the last couple of years of allowing young players and not sitting and making sure you need to have 1,500 at bats
right
before you get to play in the major leagues. Right. I think we're finally growing out of that phrase too.
Travis Shaw is the age 29 year. Then he's got arbitration 2 at age 30, arbitration 3 at age 31. I'm not extending a guy that's going into his 30s. I'm just not.
But would you buy him out of that arbitration?
No. For what? Why? There's no reason to. I don't see the point in doing it.
He's hit 30 home runs in each of the last 2 years.
I know. I'll tell you something else. That also, because he has 2 years left of arbitration team control, makes him a very, very highly sought after trade candidate if that's something that they want to do at this point, right?
Very fair.
That's the first thing. And the other thing that goes along with this is, as you and I just talked about, because you're kind of on your rookie quarterback deal here with these young pitchers, not having to pay them a bunch of money, you have no big money tied to this rotation. You have no big money tied to the bullpen. Your only big money are the two guys, Yelich and Kane. Braun, but he's going to be up here in a couple of years. So if you wanted to trade Shaw to recoup some of your prospects or to get something else, you could. And then use your free agent money that you will definitely have, because you have all these young pitchers, to go get yourself a third baseman at some point if that's what you want to do. Cassian here is playing second. Shortstop is our Cr Dubon pick. And then it's just a matter of, do you think Urstead can be the third baseman at some point, or do you got to go year to year with a guy like Moustakas, or every couple of years with Moustakas to play third base?
Sure.
That's where you're at. And Aguilar over on the other side, I don't think, well, I don't know where they're at.
Right. Are you sold on that, too? That's another huge question, is 24.
See, and I think a lot of fans right now are questioning that, too. And I think that plays into it. I think if Aguilar has a big year, then I really am convinced Shaw's not back. If Aguilar struggles and Shaw has a big year, then maybe it goes the other way. Then maybe Aguilar is the one that's not back and Shaw ends up being your first baseman going forward. But I just can't see, if Aguilar hits 40 home runs, 40, 45 home runs, and has a monster year, there's just no way. I don't.
I mean, there's still a chance that number 7 could start a lot of those games. 414-799-1250.
Who?
Eric Thames.
Oh, you're still on the thing.
Yes, sir. Contract year, baby. Hey, breakout. I'm just saying.
That makes him a tradable commodity if he does anything early.
Makes him a major trade possibility. Right. Also would give you a huge bet. If he's able to settle in the way Jesus Aguilar did in 2016, coming off the bench and being that pinch hitter, that's a huge valuable trade, especially left-handed power. Wow.
Yeah, I agree.
West Dallas, it's KJ. KJ, who's the X factor this year for the Crew?
Hello, my brothers. Thanks for taking my call. Hey, I have actually two. I have one position player and one pitcher. My position player would be Orlando Arcia. I think he has to have a real consistent year at the plate, do what he does defensively. And my X factor for pitchers would be Josh Hader, especially if he has to fill the role as the closer if they don't get Knebel back healthy, and Jeffress is going to be out for a while. So I think he's going to be real important in the back end of that bullpen. So that's what I got.
Appreciate it, KJ.
Nice call.
There's hesitation with me, and Tim and I talked about this yesterday on Hot Stove Weekly. Paul Wagner was on with us right in the second segment. You can go back here at Fan on Demand, brought to you by John Paul's Buick GMC, where part of me wants to see Josh, let him go, let's see what he can do in that role, and slot him back in every single night. That's where he's going to be. There's also part of me that says, you know, if it's not broke, don't fix it.
Right.
And he was one of the most dominant players in the league last year, bar none. Pitcher, position player, relief pitcher, starter. He was one of the most dominant players in the National League last year. And you just don't want a Tyler Thornburg, a guy like that, right? Where you're continually changing up his role?
I hate it. I hate the Thornburg deal. I hate doing it to anybody going
from
the rotation.
Because you wanted Josh to be a starter originally, right?
Yeah, but once I found out he had like two pitches, and obviously that's not going to occur. So he has to be a bullpen guy, and that's where he's going to be going forward unless he develops a couple more pitches. Corbin Burns added, what, two pitches to his repertoire over the winter from three to five? I mean, that's starting pitching stuff. But that's not who Josh Hader is at this point. And that's the thing with Freddie Peralta is you got to make sure he throws enough pitches for strikes in order to go through the rotation two or maybe three times. That's a big deal. Coming out of the bullpen, you don't got to worry about that. So for Hader, he comes out, faces three or four guys, he's done. Maybe six, but that's it.
Sure. And still, I still have one that I have not thought of, or that nobody has thought of yet, and it's going to come back to a conversation or conversations that we will have on the Bayview Shade and Blind postgame show all year long. Pat Murphy's going to join us about once a week after games, call us after the games, and we'll chat baseball backstage, you know, inside the dugout, what you can think of.
And he'll rip on Tim.
Kind of. Oh, yeah, no doubt.
That happens every time they talk.
He rips on Tim, so then I don't have to, because then everybody, when I rip on Tim, then you know that, then you're the bad guy and everybody hates you.
Tim is the franchise for a reason.
When anybody hits on Tim, then you are the worst kind of person, so I apologize with a Bofrenning. Bofrenning beer is premium quality beer to its superior ingredients. Tim's a picky drinker, but even he loves Bofrenning because he knows that it's the only beer that you're going to find made with 100% natural barley, hops, fresh spring water in production, and it's been brewed family-owned for over 250 years, since 1764 in the country of Luxembourg, and since then they've been crafting their beers to achieve the pinnacle of drinkability and smoothness. Easy word for me to say. Everything in the lineup, a crisp Pilsner, the smooth triple ale that still is 8% ABV by volume. Goodness gracious, the delicious triple fruit ale are designed to give you a full flavor that doesn't fill you up. And guys, a little secret about Bofrenning beer, unlike other imports, it's not owned by a gigantic corporation. They never sold out. They don't brew it in mass quantities. Instead, Bofrenning is made in small batches with a personal family touch. Bofrenning, available in places like Total Wine and More, where they are going on sale right now with a deal so low they won't even let me say it on the radio because they want you to go over and get some Bofrenning beer to be ready for opening day. It's on Thursday, guys. That's when the Brewers are going to be back at Miller Park. You can also stop at Discount Liquor in Woodman's. You're out on tap. Get it at a bar like Cafe Hollander. You're out with your girl. Maybe give her one of those fruit ales because they have a little bit more of a finite palate. They're able to they love that decadent flavor. It makes it just smooth and drinkable with a Nomad or over at the Stilled House at Sport Club. And finally, whenever you order one of those on tap, let Bofrenning Bill know. Hashtag Bofrenning Bill at Bill Schmidt Radio. And maybe I'll come out and drink a Bofrenning on you. It's Bofrenning Beer, Milwaukee's favorite smooth drinking import. Who can be the X Factor for the Milwaukee Brewers this year? And is it somebody on the 25-man roster? More next. Wendy's Big Show on the Fan. Sparky, your boy Jason Kidd is just, he's out here trying to get paid. He was on the jump yesterday. I joked around with Leroy and Gary. I was like, so this dude's making the tour. He wants to make sure that name keeps fresh. He wants everybody to know he's still here. He's still cool. He still likes the videos of LeBron and him dapping up and making sure everybody knows that he's cool with these superstars in the league. So he might just have something in his back pocket or what, but he knows that he needs to get paid. He might be running out of some cash.
No, he's not running out of cash or nothing like that.
But I don't know. He might play some of those card games.
Listen to me.
Side.
You go coach LeBron James and you get a young star to come there that takes over for LeBron James going forward. Mm-hmm. You can just pencil yourself in a bunch of championship rings as a coach. And all of a sudden you're a Hall of Fame coach and a Hall of Fame player and Bucks fans just start crying.
I was going to say. Will that change the tune for Bucks? No.
No, it won't. Okay. They'll just say that they're winning despite him. That's what it'll be. Well, they're winning despite Jason Kidd. It's not Jason Kidd. Jason Kidd gets no credit for it. They'll win despite him. And very well, that might be what happens. But Yeah, I mean, anybody should want to go coach LeBron James at this point. Anybody. But the bigger deal for him isn't going to be who the coach is. The bigger deal for him is, can he get star power to come there and play with him? Because those young cats in L.A., they don't want to play with him. They've had their fill of LeBron James. I'm telling you right now, they aren't going to go through that again. So they're going to need to move some of those young guys or do whatever. And then you got Lonzo Ball telling Big Baller Brand, screw you, I'm done, Dad. We're out.
Finally.
Right? So they're done. The kids drop Big Baller Brand. It looks like that thing's about to fold now. So there's a lot of stuff going on, plus all these injuries to everybody on that team. Yeah, there's a lot of stuff going on. All right, ask you the question. X Factor of the year this year for the Brewers, 414-799-1250, 414-799-1250. A lot of people saying Orlando Arcia. I'm TJ Sherwin, tweets at the fan. X Factor could be Orlando Arcia. He hit .311 in his final 44 games and had a hit in each of his 16 playoff games. If he can carry a plus .300 average, that would make a huge difference for the other guys as well. To fear the deer, tweets at the fam. It has to be Arcia's offense. If he can hit at least .250 and around 10 bombs, then he is definitely the X Factor. Brewers to the World Series in 19, tweets Orlando Arcia. If his offense is like it was in the postseason, then 1-8, the lineup is stacked. He could really be primed to break up. It would be amazing to see him hit .275, 25 homers, and 75 RBIs.
Okay.
I don't see 25 homers, folks. I mean, I love the optimism. I just don't see how he hits 25. But, I mean, you look at Scooter Jeanette, so I mean, anything's possible.
You stack that up, you would have average, I mean, okay, so you had 28 for Moose last year. Say you put him in the Central at Miller Park.
35.
You can count on Yasmani Grandal, 25, 30.
30, yep.
Travis Shaw, he's hit 30, 35 yep. each of the last 2 years at Miller
That's
Park.
That's a lot in.
Jesus Aguilar, you just
at
said
least
that he
30.
Hits 40.
I think he hits 40. But say at least 30. We'll say at least 30. Okay?
Okay.
And that means he has a down year.
So on the right 30. Side of the infield, you'd have Moose at 35. You'd have Zeus at 30. So you have 60. I'm just making sure my math is correct here. Add another 35 from Travis Shaw on the other side. You're already at 100. Yeah. Put 20 behind the dish. 25, because I still believe Manny Pena is going to play quite a bit.
Right.
And then you add another 25 from Orlando Arcia. They would have 150 homers in the infield.
And you haven't got to Yelich, Kane, and Braun.
Or Brandon Woodruff.
And Woodruff gets you two or three. and Braun, you know, that launch angle, I don't know about you guys, but I can see it. It's working in spring training. He's starting to get the ball up a little bit. And at Miller Park, that should carry. It should work. He's just got to stay healthy, obviously, or as healthy as he can stay. Yeah, they're going to lead the league in home runs. I don't see how they don't. And they're going to score a bunch of runs. And early on, they may need to score a bunch of runs while everybody gets settled in.
And luckily, you go to Cincinnati, so Eric Thames plays those three games in the month of April. I mean, that could be eight home runs right there. Sean's in Iron River. He's next on the fan. Hi, Sean.
Hey, my X Factor is going. I'm sorry, there's a big semi going by. Hey, shut up! So try that next time when a semi's going by. They'll shut up if you yell at them.
Yeah, I've never tried that before.
Right on. Andy Haynes is my X Factor, the new hitting coach. We got rid of D.C., so hopefully we'll get rid of those, you know, 10-day-long scoring droughts that were the real bugaboo of the 2018 championship season that nearly was. So I'm really looking forward to seeing what Andy Haynes can do with our offense and hopefully bring some consistency. So thanks for taking my call, fellas.
Appreciate it, Sean. And I appreciate you telling that semi to quiet down while you were on the Wendy's Big Show.
Yeah. You know, I think part of this too, as far as, you know, talking about the hitting coach or whatever, I don't know, man. Earlier on in my life, I was very critical of pitching coaches, hitting coaches, and all this other stuff. And was the first one to call for somebody to be fired amongst the two. Over the course of time, I've learned hitting coaches don't do much of anything. Yeah, they help to a certain degree, but for the most part, they're not making huge differences 9 out of 10 times with a player on a team. They just don't. I mean, there's not as much of a difference as you might think. Pitching coach-wise, I've learned over the course of time, they can have a much bigger impact if they can figure out another pitch for a pitcher or they can change this mechanically or that mechanically. Pitchers seem to be more down for dealing with pitching coaches and listening to what they want to do than a hitter is with anything a hitting coach says as far as wanting to touch his swing. Like, Hitters don't want to be told what to do. Like, I've been swinging this way since I've been 13. I'm not changing now. I'm just in a slump. I'll be fine, right? There are some hitters that will flat out tell the hitting coach in spring training, if I need help, I'll come to you. Don't worry about me. I got it.
For sure.
And they'll just tell them straight up, like, leave me alone.
Now, and a lot of guys will go to teammates before they would go to a hitting coach.
No
right?
question. You're mm-hmm. right. So the younger guys, that's different. So in this instance with Hook, you know, he had some of these younger pitches coming up. So that familiarity is already there between him and the pitchers. So they're even more apt to listen to him because he worked with them in the past.
Yep.
If you had that with a hitting coach down there, and then these guys get up and now he's at the major league level, okay, I get down with that. But do some of these guys on this roster really need a hitting coach per se right now at this point? No, probably not.
You just hit on number two of my three X factors for the team in Chris Hook right there.
Yeah.
His ability to know what works for Brandon Woodruff, what's worked for Corbin Burnes, and what's worked in developing Freddie Peralta, who at 22 years old pitched in the big leagues after he 3 years before he was a 19-year-old throw-in in a trade for Adam Lind. You have a guy that, one, has the trust of the young players that are going to be leaned on so heavily. Three out of the 5 days that you take the field, one of those guys that's under 25 is going to be your starting pitcher, and Brandon Woodruff, Corbin Burnes, or Freddie Peralta. And to have Hook be the guy that's going in and talking to them during a rough spot, or as well with Grandal, who now has a lot of playoff experience yeah. in that realm too, that dynamic, I think, could even be greater than what it was with Derek Johnson, who you love so much, who's now in Cincinnati.
Right. They paid a bunch of money to go to the Reds.
Big time money.
Yeah, and see, that for me is going to be something else here, because you were in spring training with everybody else as far as that relationship of Hook and these guys. You know, Burnes adds two pitches to his repertoire in the offseason. You would think him and Chris Hook talked about this as far as what Hook wanted him to work on in the offseason. So now when you get to the regular season and you start watching game film or whatever else, or you're watching it happening live in a game and he sees something, hopefully he's able to go out there and go, hey, look, you're doing this, you're doing A, B, or C. Just kind of remember not to do that, and hopefully you can help straighten them out a little bit. Because a pitching coach in young pitchers, I think, is a much bigger deal than a pitching coach in veteran pitchers. I just do. I think when you're a vet.
Because you think about position players being crusty veterans, a 34-year-old starting pitcher.
For sure.
That's like a totally different ballgame.
Right. I mean, and there are, you know, some of these guys. Look, Jimmy Nelson, I would assume, is probably pretty coachable at this point. But you start talking about the higher-end guys that have been doing it for a long time. I don't know how coachable those guys necessarily are when they're in a funk or whatever the case may be. These younger guys, though, just getting their feet wet, first time in the starting rotation for a full year. They want to stay in the rotation. They're going to listen to whatever coaching comes their way. I just think Hill can have a huge impact. Now, at the same point, like you said, if this pitching staff blows up all of a sudden, then everybody's going to yell and scream, why the hell didn't we keep Derek Johnson? That is what's going to be said, regardless of how much money was on the table by Cincinnati to them, and regardless of how long the contract may have been, I had heard that it was a multi-year deal. And a lot of these guys, you know, don't get long-term
right.
contracts.
That's very different when you're talking about positional coaches in baseball.
Right. A lot of them don't get long-term contracts with a lot of money attached to them. They just don't. That's just not how it works in professional baseball. It's a lot shorter-term deals with a lot less money. So we'll have to wait and see how this whole thing plays out with Hook, but yeah, there's some pressure on Hook probably, especially with three young pitchers in the rotation.
And you can take pressure off of young players and young pitchers and a bullpen right now that's being beat up by simply putting up runs. And this team is going to hit a bunch of home runs.
Yep.
They're going to strike out still probably a bunch. They got a lot of swing and miss guys still on the roster. Yasmani Grandal is going to strike out quite a bit, but he's also going to hit 25 home runs. So when you're able to balance that out and make sure that the patience is there as well and you're still drawing your walks, they're going to be one of the more prolific offenses in all of baseball. Steve Sparky, Pfeiffer, Bill Schmidt, Baby Tausch talking Brewers just 2 days in front of opening day, March 28th. It's Thursday. I just can't even believe that we're already here.
I'm blown away by it. That it really is going to start in March. To me, I, you know, we've talked about this
yearly
before.
Yeah, no, this is going to be a regular thing.
Yeah, to me, start the season in May, end the season in August, play the playoffs, first round of the playoffs, Labor Day weekend.
Whoa.
In September, and have the World Series done before you get to October.
Well, that is an expedited process. That's a baseball liquidation.
You're playing in snow in half these Midwest cities, you're playing in snow for the first month of April.
True. Yeah.
No pitcher wants to pitch in cold weather. Mm-hmm. That just does not exist. So you eliminate that in April. I don't want to go against the National Football League. I definitely don't. I don't want to finish the season in snow in October in Midwest cities. So I don't want to do that either. The fans, I think, would really appreciate the fact that you were starting and playing more games in warmer weather. So now all of a sudden, Labor Day weekend is the kickoff of your playoffs. Yes, you have the National Football League starting, but the whole season's done by the end of the month. When you get to October, it's done. And it's two extra months of offseason for these baseball players that I'm sure would love it. The problem is owners aren't going to give up those games and all that revenue that comes with it.
Especially when you got to pay guys like Ryan Braun $20 million. And you don't necessarily know how many games Ryan Braun is going to play. We're going to give our predictions next on how many times you see Ryan Braun out in left field. Because Ben Gamel, you want to talk about an X factor of a guy that's going to have to step up. Number 16 is also going to have to step up. Wendy's Big Show right here on The Fan.
Hey, I don't know if y'all saw it or not, but, you know, American Idol last year, the two finalists ended up dating and being together, whatever the case may be, the two finalists. So now comes word today that two of the other contestants are now engaged as well. Gabby and then the rocker, Cade. Gabby was third of the three finalists. And Cade was the rock star guy that everybody loves so much. They just got engaged. He just proposed to her in New York City.
Do they still go on like tour with all the finalists together like they used to?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Well, that makes sense. So they spend that kind of time touring together.
So they just got engaged. And if you're thinking about popping the big question soon or even later this year, you have to make a fast break to J. Meredith Jewelers in Delafield right now. You can get a better deal than Kay did, I promise you. You can get up to 50 to 70% off their entire inventory, including diamond rings. Talk about a clutch three-pointer. Get a stunning diamond engagement ring, save a basket full of money, and make the girl of your dreams feel like a star. Okay. Maybe you're not ready to make the big leap like Kay did, but J. Meredith Jewelers has a huge inventory of jewelry that's perfect for any occasions. Just think about it. Diamonds. Diamond earrings, diamond pendants, diamond bracelets, fine gemstone jewelry, and a whole lot more. Plus, mention you heard this ad on The Big Show on The Fan, you'll get even more savings. A slam dunk. It's not even close. Hurry right now. The sale won't last for long. J. Meredith Jewelers Inventory Liquidation Sale. A short drive for big savings in Delafield off Highway 83 near Target.
2 days away from Brewers Spring Training. Steve Sparky, Pfeiffer, Baby Tausch, talking crew on The Fan. Wendy's Big Show on The Fan, 414-799-1250. Who's your X factor for the Milwaukee Brewers in 2019, starting up in a day and a half, a Thursday? And this time, they'll probably be in like a fifth, sixth inning. A couple people will still be heading in, probably about 4,000, 5,000 people will be starting heading to the exits, I would imagine. There's always a few that, like, you're there for like maybe 17 pitches of opening day, right? Like, there's always a couple that are just... Hey, yeah, we're here. Take a picture and then fall over.
And there are those people that never even go in. That party in the parking lot and never even go into the park.
See, now maybe I'm just too cheap, but I can't do that.
I've told this story before on the air. Years ago, I can't remember how many years ago because I'm old, but years ago in this building, I was working in what's called like the jock lounge area where they have a bunch of cubicles set up and then a bunch of different people that work on air for the three different radio stations, the Mix, 103.7, or our station, all have computers that you can work at.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm working on one side of this wall of cubicles and doing stuff in my computer. And there are these two promotion girls that were summer interns or employees or whatever on the other side. And they're talking. And they're both in college age.
Nice.
And they're both talking about going to the Brewers game that night. You going to the Brewers game tonight? Yeah, I'm thinking about it. And as the conversation played out, I realized that neither one of them had tickets to the game. They were going to park and go hang out with a bunch of boys at a tailgate party who did have tickets to the
game. Nice!
And then when the boys went into the game, they were going to the bar on Bluemount until after the game, and then they were going to hook up back with them after the game. Had no tickets to the game, just were going to go tailgate and party. And then if the boys went inside, then they were going to go to the bar. And if they didn't go inside, then they were just going to sit out there and party the whole game. That was the plan. This was like, I don't know, 5-6 years ago.
It had to have been because now they've locked that down. Like where you're not in by the third inning. They're coming around on the bikes, like, hey, come on. Let's go. Game started.
Yeah, they
like, come on, man. Chill out.
They never did that back in the day.
We're in the middle of a game of flip cup. You know, you expect me just to stop this right here? It's
right.
Two, best out of seven. It's 2-1. We got to finish the case.
Right. That's back in the day, they didn't allow. I mean, they didn't care one way or the other. To be honest with you, I don't know why it matters. I really don't. If you paid your ticket and you want to sit out there and burn it, well, that's on you then. So, whatever. Who
but
cares?
Now, like you're saying, like you would have the bicycle cops go around and like make sure you got a ticket to the game.
Yeah.
Because like they've done that, I know, for a while too.
Yeah, because again, you had college kids going there just to party and they had no tickets
for
to the
sure.
game. But then you were taking up valuable parking spots to people that had tickets to the game that couldn't get in because you were there at 10 a.m. and were giving up your space and you had no intention of going to the game.
Yeah, and $15 for a parking spot's a lot cheaper than $25 for a ticket to the game.
This goes back to what I've always said, and people get mad at me when I say it for giving ideas, but I would, if you want to tailgate, you want to park in a normal parking spot, then it's $10. If you want to park and tailgate, it's $20, and you're going to be in our tailgating zone or whatever the case may be. And that's how it would be. And I don't care if you have a ticket or not. You want to come in and tailgate before the Brewer game? No problem. Have at it. But you're going to pay for it.
Or and you'll be right over here with all the other people that are partying.
Right, but then you have it all set up in the tailgate zone.
Yeah, okay.
So you have mobile
bars. Now we're talking.
You have mobile bars set up. You have more extra bathrooms over there
set up.
You have things that people can rent and bring back to you if they didn't forgot to bring a game or whatever.
Now we're talking. Yep.
Kind of like if you go to a beach, right? Mm-hmm. Same type of deal. I want to rent a volleyball and to play on the volleyball net or whatever else. Cool. Leave me your keys and you come back and get them and whatever, or your ID or whatever the case is. That's, to me, how I would run it to make even more extra money than they're already making. Because then you're going to charge them to rent a game of the bags game or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I forgot it at home. Cool. $5 and you can rent it. And I need it back in 2 hours or
rent
whatever.
Rent a football. Rent a baseball.
Whatever the case may be. And then those parking spots for tailgating would be extra large. So you'd have more space in between cars to allow more room for everybody to tailgate.
Man, that's brilliant. Scott's in Pewaukee. Excuse me. Scott, who's your X factor for the Brewers this year?
Hey, guys. I run the website brewmaps.com, and I posted a picture of Matt Albers on your Twitter feed. I kind of think of an X factor as being like a guy who needs to rise to meet the challenge. You know, places of vulnerability are kind of where I look.
Mm-hmm.
And with the young starting rotation and the injuries we have in the bullpen, it seems like we're going to really need some guys to step up in innings 4 through 6, 4 through 7. And the names that kind of surface right away are Albers, Claudio, and Patrika, you know, guys like that. And I think people forget how good Albers was before he got kind of started going downhill. He had a 1.08 ERA at the end of May, and I think he basically just had like 3 really bad starts and kind of started to feel that injury and things spiral out of control. But he was really good before he started going downhill. I just kind of wanted to hear what you guys thought about Albers' chances at reclaiming his potential.
Yeah, well, no doubt. Appreciate the call, man.
This is my thing. Like, I did not agree with Matt Albers has a spot on the team coming into spring training. Like, I said, got to pitch for it. Everybody's got to pitch for it. And that's not how it works in baseball. So he pitched for it. I thought Albers did fine this spring. Like, I got no qualms with Albers this spring.
Yeah, no. He earned himself a spot on the team.
Correct.
Yeah.
He earned it, regardless if it was given to him or not. He earned that opportunity to play. So, Albers was really good at the beginning of last year. And I remember when Corey Knebel went down, I was on the air lobbying to make Matt Albers the closer. And a lot of people didn't want Matt Albers to be the closer, but that's what they ended up doing. And then he got hurt, and then coming off of that injury, he was horrible and was never the same pitcher. So if he can be Matt Albers, who was Matt Albers last April throughout this season, then that really helps ease the pain of Corey Knebel. It helps a lot.
You and I are a lockstep in that realm. Chase Anderson came into the spring, and it appeared that he was going to have a spot on this team, a spot on the rotation, and that was going to be it. No, you got to earn where you're going to get. You got to earn your minutes. You got to earn your reps. You got to earn your innings. Matt Albers earned them in the offseason. He earned them this spring. And through the first 21 times he was out there last year, Scott, you're exactly right. The numbers were outstanding.
Yep.
And he was one of the most dependable dudes. You were bridging with Josh Hader to get to Matt Albers. As weird as that sounded.
Right.
Hader, it was like Hader to Albers, or Jeffress to Hader to Albers. And depending on where he slots in, I would imagine he'll be that guy again this year. I don't think they're going to put, as much as I like his stuff, I don't think they put Taylor Williams back there. I don't want to see Jacob Barnes back there. It would be Albers because he has the closing experience. Like you said, he did it for you last year. And then whenever Jeffress comes back, you do it the exact same way you did before, where Jeffress can be that floating closer and come in at any point that the game really turns.
See, I don't know. I think this is a tough deal here because if you're the Brewers, how this month of April plays out without Jeremy Jeffress, and then when Jeremy Jeffress comes back and how you handle it. Because Jeremy Jeffress very well may look at this and say, look, if Corey Knebel's not pitching, I want to be the closer. I've got closing experience.
And
I want
to
be the closer.
He deserves to be the closer.
Right.
Yeah.
But, like you just said, if Matt Albers is closing in the month of April and Hader's your setup guy and Jeremy Jeffress comes back and Albers is doing fine, I'm not taking Albers out of the closing job. I'm just not. Jeffress, you're going to pitch the eighth like you did last year, and we're going to go back to Hader at six and the seventh. You have to get through, what did they say, mid-April probably? So you have to get through the first 2 weeks of the season without Jeffress and Knebel, and then hopefully you get Jeffress back. And if Matt Albers is doing his thing, the Corey Knebel injury won't be nearly as big.
Burns, Woodruff, or Peralta? Which are you most excited to see in 2019? They're all going to be in the starting rotation. Get into that conversation next. Our Kim and LaVoy Judgment Day question of the day. Which of the three young starters in the rotation are you most excited for? They all gave you reasons to be excited in 2018, but will they give themselves reasons to stick in the rotation in 2019? Wendy's Big Show on the Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.